It's good to be back home with you guys. Thanks for being patient. My family was on vacation visiting our family down the deep south. And I could break out the good drawl this morning, but I'm not going to do that. Instead of doing that, because I would never hear the end of it, because that's what family does, right? But instead of that this morning, I want to invite us to jump right into the Word of God. I want to go to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to ask if you have your Bible on your phone, or maybe you got a tablet with you today, or maybe you have that thing that's called the hardback or the paperback, you know that thing too? People still use those. Would you take that and would you open up this morning into the book of Ephesians? Ephesians is in the New Testament, and you'll notice that after you kind of get past the Gospels and keep going a few books, then you get Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, Colossians. And so if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, I would like to start with a passage here. I want to read from verse 11 through the verse 16 today. I'm going to actually read the New Living Translation. So if you're dialing up on your phone and you want to pick a translation to read, you read whatever you want, but if you're like, well, that doesn't match mine, that's why I'm in the New Living Translation this morning. Let us begin. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. The Word of the Lord. Father, we ask that today, by Your Spirit, You would bless this reading, that we would not hear just the words that I speak today in relation to this text, but that we would hear Your Spirit speaking to us personally in very unique ways that addresses and challenges us in our faith, that You would encourage us and make possible our continued growth in Christ. Amen. You ready for this? You ready?
Bring it, ready.
All right, here we go. Let's off and running. Off and running. So, what does God desire for you? What does God desire for His church? And so not last Sunday, because I wasn't here, but the two Sundays before that, we were exploring this new purpose statement that we have here at New Hope that says we exist to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve, right? So love, grow, and serve. It's very simple and straightforward. And I talked the first couple weeks about this idea of loving God and loving others. If you remember that, if you were here. And now I want to transition into this topic of saying that we grow and we grow up in Christ, and that God desires His people to grow up in the mind of Christ and to grow up in the heart of Christ, which the Bible teaches us is full of love. Because love is God's greatest attribute of His being. It's the greatest emotional attribute of the God that we worship, who is our Creator, the one true living God, right? There is God and there is no other. He is the one true living God. And so we believe that then at New Hope, come on now, we believe our purpose is to make disciples who will grow. And so what do we mean when we say this word grow? Does it mean that we grow more hair? Does it mean that we grow less gray hair? No matter how hard I try, naturally, it just keeps going grayer. And I can't figure out how to make that stop. Eventually, I'm probably going to have to just shave it all off. Or just take pride in the fact that it's gray, and I'll be like, that's a sign of wisdom. Let's hold on to that, right? Okay, all right, well, you know, whatever works. So today, I want to start with saying something that I was saying for weeks back in January, and that is that God's grace is the power that grows us. It's the source of power that really grows us. We talked about that sanctifying grace, right? Is that grace of God that grows us? I mean, He forgives us, right? He invites us. He's inviting us first. He forgives us by His grace. He grows us by His grace. And so we explored those. And therefore, if God is doing all that with His grace, it seems to make sense to me that He is the master builder of our lives. Right? It's kind of like, have you guys seen that Legos, Master Builder Legos show? You know, it's like, I mean, they do some crazy stuff. They build some crazy stuff in there, and it's phenomenal. But God is the master builder of our lives. It's not me, and it's not you. It truly is God. He really builds and grows something beautiful in our lives. And when I was thinking about the culture that, you know, we're all a part of, you know, we live and work out there, you know, and go to school and whatever we're doing out in the world. And I was thinking about what is it maybe that we might hear a lot from culture that we're a part of. And I was thinking, you know, over my years, one of the things that I have heard is that we can become the very best version of ourselves by our own initiative, and by our own self-will, by knowledge, through philosophical wisdom, and through grit, perseverance. Right? I just like that word grit. It makes me want to eat grits, but it's not the same thing. And you know, on one hand, it's not. I know. Sorry, shouldn't have gone there. But and on one hand, I want to say this. I don't want you to hear. Please do not hear that I'm dogging. Right? I'm not. And I'll say this, I think on one hand, there's some measure of truth in that, in the sense that we tend to get out what we put in. The Bible talks about the concept that you reap what you sow, right? And so the idea that if you really want to grow up in the mind and the heart of Christ, that you will need to put some effort into drawing close to know the mind and the heart of Christ. But ultimately, that growth will not be because of you, and it won't be because of the mediocre sermons that I preach on Sundays. It's going to be because the Spirit of God is at work in you, and His grace is growing you, right? Absolutely. And so, when I think of that, I want to say, I think there's some measure of truth in that, but there's also a rub with that. There's something that doesn't quite sit all the way. It make me comfortable with this idea that we kind of drive our own growth, because spiritual growth is not driven by our works. And like I said, it's not driven by human effort. It's driven by God's power at work in us. And so we do have to work at having a close relationship with God. And certainly He's inviting us into that. And we need to put forth that effort. Just like you know when you have a relationship with somebody, that if you want to have a good, close relationship, you're going to have to put in the effort of spending time, getting to know that person, listening to that person, not assuming you know everything that they want and what, you know, what they need all the time, but listen to them express to you what it is that they're thinking and how they feel and what they need, what they want, all that sort of stuff. It tends to be when we stop doing those things that we get ourselves into a world of hurt. I thought I'd get maybe a bigger amen on that one, but that's totally fine. I know it's still early this morning, and we'll just keep rolling right through that. So let me give this analogy. I think this analogy works quite well. I was thinking of trees and plants, and you know, the reality of what God has created is that trees and plants like to grow with ample sunlight. You take a plant, you put it in a southern window, right, that gets a lot of sunlight. Odds are, if you will water that thing and you'll give it some good soil, that with good sunlight, that thing's probably going to take off and really do well, you know. And it works that way because, you know, you ready to go to botany class this morning? Just real quick, I should ask these guys over here, tell me why does that work, right? Because the sun gives energy so that the plant and the trees can take the carbon dioxide in the water and convert it into other compounds that enable that plant, that tree, to grow. You guys knew that, didn't you? Totally. Right. Yeah, I know you did this morning. Absolutely. And so if there's no sun, there's no growth. If there's no light, there's no life. That'll preach, won't it? Oh, man. That'll preach. Sun is so important to sunflower seeds. You guys ever seen the sunflower seed plants? Aren't those like some of the coolest things? They look like they're out of this world, really, that big old head on it. When we were living in Michigan, I used to go run. We lived on the highway, so I would start out running down the highway. I would recommend don't ever do that, but that's what I did. But then I would turn on the side street, and there was a guy who had lived there for a long time, and he had a farm, and it was not a really big farm, at least by the road, but he would grow sunflower plants. And one of the coolest things that I got to see was how those sunflower, the heads on those plants would turn throughout the day. Now, I wouldn't stand there and watch them, you know, sometimes I'd run in the morning, and they'd be facing where? Kind of to the east, southeast, ready? They'd get that morning sun and be ready for that. And then some days I'd go run in the afternoon, and they'd be faced more to the west. And it was like, I was like, holy cow. And some of them would be faced, you know, the wrong way. And I was like, you need to catch up, dude. Come on. You're behind. Everybody else has turned. And so we'd be facing that way. And sun is so important to these sunflower plants. And I love that. Because, you see, I think there's a great spiritual truth in that. Christ is the light of the world. In that light was life for all men and women. John chapter 1 tells us that's the case. He is the one who brings about our growth by his grace. He is the one that guides our growth to grow into that. As Paul put it, I love the way the New Living Translation has it here, to point to measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He's the one who strengthens us. He is the one who roots us. He is the one who establishes us. He is the one who gives us power. He is the one who makes us wiser in the mind of Christ. He is the one who shapes our affections so that our affections are more towards the things that Christ longs for. What is it that brings joy to Christ when he watches and observes and knows our lives? What is it in our lives that brings joy to Christ, that our hearts would long for that? And what are those things that maybe pains the heart of Christ that he might observe about our lives, some choices we may make at times, that our hearts would be longing towards understanding that and feeling that side of it? Now, some folks I know are like, that's too gooey, kind of emotional junk for me. You know, it's like, but there's a sense that, do you feel joy? Do you feel hurt at times? Yes? Yes. Where do you think that came from? Came from God. You're created in the image of an emotional God. Now, his emotions are perfect at all times, and he meets our emotional needs most perfectly. But there is that sense that God feels, and that sense of the Lord helping us to feel what he feels in that closeness with him. Bless you. And what Christ is thinking, what Christ is feeling. Don't be afraid to open your mind and your feelings to God. He can grow you in both, for he has given you both. He loves you in both areas. He has great plans for you in both areas. Don't rob yourself of the good things that God wants to do in your life because you're afraid of feelings. Or, watch this, because you might be afraid that you're not smart enough to do this learn the Bible kind of thing, right? Did God give you a mind to think? I know, sometimes mine scares me. He did. Just because you may not feel that you have enough smartness up here to really grow in knowing the Word of God, don't give in to that. That's not of the Lord. He wants to transform you through the renewing of your mind. He will work with you just where you are. And sometimes, you know what he does? He takes the simple and he uses the simple to confound those who think they are wise. It's amazing how God does some pretty cool stuff. So don't be afraid. God will grow you by his grace. I love this in Ephesians 2:21. You'll notice we'll kind of bounce around just a little bit. I had this on the screen this morning. I want to keep you guessing. You never know what's coming. So here's what Paul writes on this. He says, in him, talking about Christ, he said, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, that's maybe a little confusing, but in essence, what Paul is saying is like, hey, look, as the Spirit of God resides in the innermost sanctuary of the temple, that you, through your salvation, are a temple of the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of God dwells within you. Don't let that freak you out if you're not used to that kind of way of thinking. But the Spirit of God is with you. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is holy. And that is a dwelling place. And Paul says you're being built up by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, to be this great dwelling place where the Spirit of God is. And I tell you, where the Lord resides is good. You go, well, I'm not that good. Well, I beg to differ. Because when you said yes to Jesus, God made you good by his grace. You are good. He is good, and you are good. You say, well, I'm a helpless sinner. I know that. But that's what makes salvation so good. Is that the grace of God has done a good work in you. And people may not treat you good, and they may not talk to you good, and they may not think good thoughts about you, but whatever. Because who thinks you're good and what matters? God. And he's who matters. So you are good. God, thank you that because of you in me, I am good. That I am good in your eyes. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And no matter what somebody treats me today, and they come through that line to get their cup of coffee, thank you, Jesus, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made by you, and I am good. And may you just have a good day in the rest of your day as you have your coffee and you drive away. For those of you that may not know, Karen works at Donut Bank in the drive-through line, and so we have talked occasionally. God builds us up by grace. I like this. You ready for a tweetable quote? Our growth is God's handiwork. Our growth is God's handiwork. Our growth is God's handiwork. I like the Apostle Paul for what he brings to the table on this idea, which is why, for this topic, I went to a book of Ephesians to talk about this. Was Paul, he understood his own personal testimony to be that of a person who, because of grace, had been forgiven. He had been saved from eternal separation from God by God's grace. He knew that he had been reborn as a new creation in Christ through God's grace. He knew that he was being taught by God's Spirit, where the grace of God is working through his Spirit. He was being taught to then teach people about God's loving grace that had been offered to the world in Christ. And in fact, Ephesians 3:7, he brings this to the table. And so let's look at this on the screen. By God's special gift of grace given to me through his power, I became a servant to tell that good news. In essence, he's like, you believers in Ephesus, here we go. I will tell you today that my best in Christ is not because of my own goodness, it is because of God's grace. All that I will do to help point you to Jesus will not be because of me, it will be because of the grace of God, by the work the Spirit of God does through me. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. It's all about the grace of God through Christ, right? All right, I feel like we've rode that horse long enough. Excellent. You didn't have to be so affirmative on that, but nonetheless, so we exist to make disciples of Christ who love God and others, who grow by grace. And I got one more for us on this today. In community. We grow in community. We grow in a community of people that share our faith, where we complement one another instead of competing against each other. You know, let me take you back to the marketplace. you know, when you think of the marketplace, we have seen that competition typically drives improvements, drives advancements, seems to make life a little bit more convenient, maybe a little more comfortable, gives us some things that we kind of like and enjoy, right? Competition against other companies, against other individuals, has typically sort of driven that to take place, right? And so, I mean, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, I mean, does any more need to be said in that category? You know, the idea of what, of competing against others, and the autonomy of saying, you know what, I'm going to make this happen. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm going to do it because I believe that, you know, it's like, I can do this and make this. And man, has it driven crazy advancements in the world. And it's not bad at all, you know, in some regards. But on the other hand, we're not here to talk about the marketplace, right? Because we're to talk about growing up in Christ. And on the other hand, I think, you know, we have to say, I think autonomy and competition, they challenge our growth in faith because they tend to overshoot. That idea tends to overshoot God's intent to grow us in community with the church who has been given gifts to help each other grow in our faith. I've been in the church, I will say, long enough to have heard, I've been in pastoral ministry and have heard numerous people say these types of statements that are all about me, right? So it's like, let me just share with you. I don't need people teaching me what to believe or how to live my life. I'm independent. I'm smart enough. I can figure it out. I already know. I've already learned it. I can do things myself. I don't need help from a pastor. I don't need help from a small group. I don't need help from church leaders. I don't need help. I can do it. It's just God and me. I don't need a middleman. I don't need anybody else. It's just God and me. I believe that's all I need. I can do well enough on my own. There's a lot of I statements. Did you catch that? I did that on purpose. Because for one, that's what I have heard. I've heard those types of phrases multiple times from different types of people in different walks of life. And I think that those I statements, that challenges our growth in faith, because what happens is thinking that way, it shuts out the community that God has designed to help us grow up in our faith. And we realize that that's going to take us allowing people to be a part of our journey. And I can't speak for people in their minds and how they're thinking, but I've often wondered if perhaps some of that type of thinking was coming from a fear of allowing people to step in and know the mess of their life. A fear of being honest with oneself about maybe where we struggle in believing God. Some areas where maybe we're having a hard time accepting that God's word is true. And if I can say, I, and I can shut it out and close it off, and I can protect myself, and I can sort of be in my own little faith bubble and say, it's just me and the King. It's just me and Jesus. I got the cross. That's all I need. Now, granted, for salvation, I hear you. But God didn't save you to leave you in one place. He saved you to put you into a family where you would grow. You would grow up in Christ. You would grow in the moral image of God. Now, there's a $5 thought for this morning. God has saved you for much more than you probably realize when you come to a believing faith in Jesus. We need each other to grow stronger together. And there's a lovely word that begins with H that sometimes is a hard one to want to embrace, and it's called humility. You guys are familiar with that word, right? Yeah. I've had some struggles with that word before. I don't know about you guys, but I have. right? To humble ourselves and to say, I don't know as much as I thought I knew. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I can't do everything as well as I thought I could. I need other people in my life to come alongside me and to lift me up. I need people to be patient with me because I make more mistakes than I really want to confess. Ugh, that hits home with me. Because I'm an achiever. I like to do things and to see progress and for people to go, hey, that was a really good job. You knocked that out of the park. You know, I'm like, oh, man, thanks. Like, I feel like 10 feet tall, you know? But that's kind of me. That's something that I have wrestled with, right, over the years. And so I have to be careful of that when I'm pastoring and leading and doing work in the church, because what can you tend to do with that? Try to do everything. Oh, I can handle that. Oh, I can do that too. Oh, I can do that too. Well, yeah, you could. But I bet you other people could do it better. They're like, I don't want to hear that. I know, but I bet they could. But you got to give them a chance. Well, what if they mess up? Well, they might. Does it really matter that much if they mess up? No. How did you learn? Well, I learned from my mistakes. There we go. So we have, right? And so in the community, the body of Christ, we come together and we embrace each other and with humility say, I need you. We need each other. And we need those people who are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ and not even sitting here this morning. And we have yet to even meet those folks. And we're going, we need those folks. And some of them are your friends and your family members and your neighbors and your coworkers. And we need them. They just don't know it yet. Why? Because God wants to do a work through New Hope that involves them being a part of this body. And what God has beautifully done is say, here's the deal. Here's how I'm going to structure this whole thing. I'm going to give folks gifts. And I'm going to design it so that when they use those gifts in the life of the church, right, and you humble yourself and you allow them to use those gifts, and you celebrate when they do those gifts better than you did it, and you don't compete against them and say, well, I could do that. You say, no, I'm going to release this and let's see where you go with it with God. Kind of thing, you know? Like humble, humility, right? God gives grace to the humble. Oh, I didn't, that just came to me. That works. I should have wrote that into the message this morning. It would have been better. I want you to notice the particular gifts that because I think this is what sort of drives us home. But there's particular gifts that Paul writes of in Ephesians 4. Do you remember this? He said he get apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. And he listed like five of them right there. And with those gifts, if you sort of read how Paul's talking about all of this, one of the things that jumps out to me is that God is saying, I'm giving these gifts into the church so that the church will hear from different angles of different people speaking God's word, God's wisdom to the church, and caring for the church. And as all these are sort of happening together, coming from different people at different times in different ways, different angles, that he says the church is going to mature and it's going to grow up. It's going to the full and complete, you know, measure of Christ. It's going to... Did you hear all these words that Paul uses? He says, these gifts are going to help equip, build up, mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard, growing in every way more and more like Christ, becoming healthy and growing and full of love. I mean, this is design, right? So grow this way. Have you ever seen the redwood trees in California? You ever seen those? I have not been there to see those, but I've seen the pictures of them. And a neat thing I learned about the redwood trees, I know this sounds random, but it's not, is that redwood trees, they will grow together in the forest, but their roots do not go down extremely far. So if you're used to pine trees predominantly have a singular root that kind of goes down, and so you notice they tend to snap, right? So, just lesson, great. With the redwoods, their roots grow out together. So when they all are growing up together, those roots tend to come together and they overlap one another. You see where I'm going with this? You're tracking with me. And so as they're overlapping one another, they're protecting each other and they're making each other stronger to withstand the winds and the forces of nature that may press against them, that may work to knock them over. I like that. Isn't that good? That's pretty good. That's what the spiritual gifts are all about for us. As they work together for us, they strengthen us and they complement one another. Not competing, they're working together and allowing each other to come from different angles and overlapping and da-da-da-da-da. And some people are better than others and all this kind of stuff, you know. And they're learning and they're growing, different stages of maturity. It's like it's all coming together. And everybody just kind of goes, ooh, grows up together. I know it seems so simple, but I think it really is meant to be that simple. Truly. God gives the church community gifts by grace to help her grow together as followers of Christ. Sometimes one of the best things that we can say in the church when we get asked to do something is the word no. Now, if you're needed, by all means, and the Lord, Lord puts that desire in your heart, say yes. But if you tend to be a go-to person, that people go to, maybe the best thing you could do is say no and allow God to raise up some folks who can say yes, and they're a little scared, and they might have a panic attack or something, you know, but they say, okay, I'll try, and they give it a shot, you know, and it may not be perfect, and that'll be okay. Because it's not about perfection, it's about saying, yes, Lord. And in the yes, Lord, God perfects us in love and grace, and he grows us up. It's quite the beautiful thing. So what can we do with this today? Well, I've got a couple thoughts, pretty simple, I'll share with you. I think one of the things is this. Pray for growth. If it's a spiritual thing we're talking about, we want to pray for growth. If we want to see folks grow by grace and in community, and God's the master builder, then pray for that growth to happen, right? And what I might suggest to us is this. When we're exercising our faith, those spiritual habits, perhaps we could pray for this when you go to read the scripture. Do you feel like when you go and read your Bible that God might speak something to you that will help you grow up in your faith a little bit? It may not be a kind of moment, but it may be something, a little nugget of something that kind of like, oh yeah, that, yes, Lord, you know, kind of thing. Pray, God, help me to grow in the mind of Christ today as I read your word. Help me to feel what you feel as I read this passage of scripture. What does it say to me? What do you want me to know about your heart, Lord, as I read this? I may not really deeply understand it. It may like zoom, be over my head. But Lord, help me to just understand what you would have me to understand in this moment. Right? That kind of thing. And maybe when, you know, we're worshiping together is another one. Lord, I'm with all these other believers. Would you just help me to grow my faith together with them today? Right? Lord, when I'm sharing in communion and the sacrament of communion, God, by your grace, would you grow me today up in my faith and in the mind and the heart of Christ by your grace, please? As I'm serving with others, Lord, would you help me to grow in my faith as I come along, work alongside these folks at New Hope who love Jesus. You know, you say it however you want. You might say, God, help me keep growing to be more like Christ, perfect love. Grant me wisdom that I may fulfill your desire for me today and be a blessing to others. Give me the grace to grow. Grow me by your grace. Amen. You know, you just put it in your, say however you want to say it. And so that's one, and so here's the second one, this is the last one, is I would encourage you, just keep being actively involved in volunteering at New Hope. Be a part of just of what's happening in the life of the body. You know, when you get an opportunity to come alongside others, keep doing that. If you can work some things in your schedule out, you know, maybe a shift something, and so you've got time for that, and you can make that, you know, if you can do it, do that. And if maybe you have to go, you know what, I think I need to say no to this so that I can say yes to this opportunity that I think will help me grow up in my faith as a part of the body of Christ and community with other New Hope crazy people. I was me myself, not y'all on that at all. I figure we're family, so I might as well have fun.
Right.
I love you guys. You guys are so... Pinch me, I'm dreaming. I still can't believe I'm getting to do this here with y'all. It is a dream come true, seriously. It's amazing, guys. If we can get together and have opportunities where we can lead others and be led by others, man, let's do it. If we can teach and be taught by others, man, let's do it. If we can pray and be prayed for by each other, let's do it. If we can give and receive from each other, be humble and let's do it. Sometimes that's a hard one. You know, I get it. If we can encourage and be encouraged by others, let's do it. If we can love and be loved by one another, let's do it. I think our small groups are a great environment where that takes place. And if I tell you, if you haven't been a part of a small group and you're just like, I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, maybe I could do that. I would encourage you, say yes. Give it a shot. Try it. Might try a couple different groups, see what you like. And maybe the one doesn't meet at the time that's convenient for your schedule. And maybe God put it on your heart to say, you know what, I think I need to start one. Like, I'd like to launch one. Well, we'd help you do that, you know? We really believe in community, that we really grow through community. I've experienced that in my own life. I know it to be the case. It is absolutely just a fertile environment to grow. It really is awesome. And so I want to, I think, just close with telling us this in a nutshell. Actively doing life in community that benefits each other of different ages. So let's think about our kids. Let's think about our seniors, you know, all around. And practicing spiritual habits, those spiritual disciplines, familiar with that term? All right, prayer and worship and giving and serving and fasting, or, you know, there's a whole slew of those. But doing that with prayer can really bring about growth in the people of God. God has designed it that way. When you work together and you serve together and you lean on each other's giftedness, but you're also willing to say, well, I'm here, use me if you need me, right? Why? Because I just want to serve the Lord. And if you need me, I want to be available and say yes. But if I need to say no to this, Lord, help me have the courage to say no. And trust the Lord to guide you with wisdom into when is a yes and when is a no moment. And so just to trust him for that, because I trust that if I do my best by faith in this moment, that God can grow me through this experience, and it might be an uncomfortable or a painful or a hard, like, you know, sometimes we grow through the hardest moments. We grow through the hardest seasons, the most challenging seasons, when we're like, we hurt the most. If we lean into God, that often tends to be the times when we come out having grown the most. It's weird the way that works. But it's what God does. It's wild and crazy. So I think that God has wonderfully said it through Zechariah, Prophet Zechariah 4:6, and I would state these words. He says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We believe that we exist to make disciples of Christ who love and grow by grace and in community through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have, talking about community, I have an opportunity for us this Easter season. For those, some of you familiar with Lent, and some of you maybe not, and that's fine. Lent is a season that leads up to Easter Sunday. And it's a time of year when we can sort of prepare our hearts for the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? He was crucified and was resurrected 3 days later. And so what I did, God put just a desire in my heart to do this. And so I said, yes, Lord, you know, it's crazy things. You never know where it's going to take you. But it resulted in me writing a booklet as a Lenten devotional that I have written for y'all and us, right? And so I have copies of these available. The bulletin says that they weren't going to be available in print today, but they got them done. And so I was like, hey, I want to have them for y'all. So, you know, it's like, hey, over-deliver, right? All right, so I have these available today. You also have another option. Some of you, you're like, I don't want to have to remember. I'd like to just have it on my phone. Absolutely, and we've got that for you. You'll notice in your bulletin is a QR code, and so if you just scan that with your smartphone, use an app for scanning a QR code, if you scan that, it'll take you to the website, and you'll see on the website there is a link you can download this booklet. And so we've done it so that it should work well on your smartphone, okay? And so for each one, you can just pull that right up. And essentially what this is, I've called this a suffering savior. And this is a guided journey through the Gospel of Mark. So for Lent, we're gonna read through the entire Gospel of Mark, which is not too hard because it's only 16 chapters. And so I've tried to make it pretty easy, straightforward, that we can. Each week, these dates, read through these chapters. And then when we get to Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, so we have Palm Sunday and then Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday. Those particular days, there is an individual reading for that day. And so feel free to pick this up. We'll make this available. I only did 50 hard copies because I know some of you are like, I just want it on my phone. I don't need this book, right? So that way I got it with me if I'm at school, I'm at work, wherever, in the bathroom. Like, I have it, and I can just read this thing whenever. So this is my gift to you. Happy early Easter. And I hope I did this because I hope that during this season that we will be intentional about taking time to just be in the Word, be in prayer with a focus on Jesus, that will sort of lead us through his life and lead us up to the cross and his death and his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And I have a surprise for you guys that I want to tell you today, because this is a big surprise enough, about our Easter Sunday. We're going to have a lot of fun with Easter Sunday this year. I promise you this. It's going to be good. I would encourage you, invite folks. Be thinking, who can you invite for Easter, right, to come be a part? It really is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good. I'm stoked. I'm excited. The idea came to me. And so I've talked with a couple of folks who are like, oh, this is going to be really good. This could be good. And so I'm like, all right. And the rest of you, most of you have no idea, right? This is so much fun. So it's going to be super, super good and a lot of fun. If you invite folks, I promise you, they will be glad that they were here on Easter Sunday. It's going to be a good time, right? Because mainly we're going to share the message of hope in the risen Lord. And that's what makes our worship worth coming. Hope in Christ.